the eyes of men. He looks at you with the eyes of God. And what he sees is somebody that he died to save. That's what he sees. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been, where you're going. All that matters is that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today, and you get the blessed promise of heaven forever. There's just nothing better than that promise that he gives us. Nothing better. The title of the message today is Cut the Ropes. The title of the message today is Cut the Ropes. There's a little boy. He was out in a church foyer one day. He looked up at these pictures of fallen soldiers. And the preacher walked, he saw the boy looking at him. The boy said, "Preacher, what are these?" And the preacher looked down, put his hand on his shoulder. He said, "Son, these are men that have died in the service." And the boy looked back up at him. He started to get real inquisitive and said, "Preacher, was it the morning or the evening service?" Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Let's start reading in verse 22. Let's all stand, please, as we read the Word of God. Good to have you today. Thank you so much for coming to Bethel Baptist Church. I pray that we'll be a blessing to you. Understand this, the greatest thing that we have in this church is Christ. Amen. And we'd like to show him to you, we really would. We love people, that's just what we do here. We love each other, we care about each other, we want to help each other through rough times, and we want to have you help us through the good times, amen? All right, verse number 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." Do you believe God today? That's an interesting question, folks. A lot of people are afraid of the times and scared to death of every move that they make. Do you believe God? Because if you believe him, you ought not be afraid. "That it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach today. Lord, help me. I need you. I need you to speak through me, Lord. It's always my prayer, Lord. Let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything today. Lord, I want them to hear from you, not from me. Help me, Lord, please. I'm begging you. Heal up my preacher. Lord, please heal him up. We need him here. He's our leader. He's our shepherd. Lord, please heal him up. And Lord, please bring the nice weather to us soon. We've battled, Lord. A lot of people are sick. A lot of people are under the weather, Lord. We need to have them back to healthy again so Bethel can get ready to move forward into a great spring and summer. Help us, Lord, today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. They were in the midst of a storm. One of the worst storms called a Euroclydon in the scriptures there, coming from the east. I'm not exactly sure what all that means, but understand this. It was so bad that they literally were bailing water and fearing for night after night after night. After night, no stars, no moon. It was so bad. The weather was so bad. It was just night after night going through a storm, day after day going through a storm. And the men had just about reached their wits' end when Paul said, God come and spoke to me and told me we're all going to make it. Do you know your Bible says that we're all going to make it? Your Bible tells you that you're going to make it. Your Bible tells you that he's going to take you through. He's not going to leave you in. He's going to take you through, and in this day and age, it's harder and harder to see where the through is. In this day and age, it's harder and harder to understand how can the world continue to get wicked and wicked and wicked and wicked, yet we're going to make it through. God didn't put stipulations on it. He just said, you're going to make it through. He did not say it was going to be easy. He said there's going to be storms. He said there's going to be problems. There's going to be trials. There's going to be heartaches. I'm glad. Well, that's dumb. Why would you be glad, preacher? Because if the times were always good, how would you know that they were good? If the times were always good, how would you know that they were good? If the times are always bad, which they tend to get that way, and you have a good time, you know that it's good. And sometimes the Lord puts us through things to help us build our strength, to help us build our endurance. And at this time, the Lord had a very specific purpose for Paul, but that purpose wasn't necessarily important to the men that were on the ship, because they don't care what Paul's doing. They just want to live. But Paul said, because of this purpose, God has given to me everybody on this ship as long as they stay in the ship. Now, there was a lifeboat there, and the men had just about come to their wits' end with this storm. They said, we can't get near enough to land. The ship's too heavy and too big. We can't get near land because obviously the rocks are going to come. We don't want to get cast upon a rock because then we will surely die. But we do want to get to land, so we have this little boat here, and I don't know how many it would fit because there's over 200 people on the ship. I don't know how many people are going to be in that lifeboat, but I dare say it's not 200. But this lifeboat was started to be lowered into the water. And Paul said, go if you will, but remember this. God said, I'm going to bring you through if you stay in the ship. The soldiers, being smart, cut the ropes and let the ship fall off, let the boat fall off. Now listen, their only earthly lifeline left was that little boat. In their minds, they thought the best way of escape was a way of escape that they had produced. Are you with me? Sometimes we think that the best way of escape that we have is one that we can do. One that seems like it's the right thing. Seems like it's so great. Man, it's right there. There's a boat. If we jump in that boat and row and row and row, I promise you we'll get to that. We'll get there if we just keep rowing. How many times have you chosen your own way and you rowed forever and you never got there? Yeah, I hear amens everywhere. I amen with both hands up. We try to do what we want to do, what we think is right, but the Lord says, that's not what I wanted you to do. Do you know sometimes the only way of escape is to fight? Sometimes the only way of escape is living through the battle. Sometimes the only way of escape is getting through to the other side. Sometimes you can't escape the immediate battle. You've got to get through the immediate battle. And by the way, if the Lord wants you to escape, guess what's going to happen? He'll make a way for us to escape. My question to you is this, and believe it or not, this is going to be very simple, but something that I desperately need to hear. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to speak to myself, and hopefully while I'm preaching to myself, you come along for the ride. Amen? What ropes, Brother Dave, are holding you back from serving God? We're going to talk about the different types of rope here in a minute. But there are ropes that will stop you from serving God. What ties us down enough? What keeps us back enough? What holds us down enough that we cannot serve God? I'm not speaking about being a preacher or a missionary. I'm not speaking about being a deacon. I'm not speaking about being a lay preacher. I'm not speaking about being a nursery worker or any of those other things. I'm talking about if God touched your heart to serve him in a way, what holds you back from doing that? What holds you back if you're serving God? What holds you back from seeking God? And there's a difference. You can serve God and not even know his presence is there. Did you know that? You can serve God, and the Bible talks about a fellow being busy here and there. He had the lamb for the sacrifice. He came in, and he was holding it for his daddy, a soldier had a prisoner. He was holding the prisoner captive, and he got busy here and there, and the prisoner escaped. He had a job to do. He was supposed to do that job, but because of his busyness, he couldn't perform the job. How many of you in your life, one time or another, are serving God so well that you forget whom you serve? We talk about it a lot, to where we get so busy with the things of this life, and even the good things, Marlena, even the things that are very good things. Coming to church all the time is a good thing, but why do you come? You got to ask yourself that question, because you ought not come just because it's a place where you can go and have coffee and donuts in the morning and go and see the people that you know and shake hands and do all those things. Why do you come? You ought to come because this is where you meet with God. You ought to come because this is where you learn about God. This is where you hear preaching about God. This is where you hear the preaching about that wonderful Savior that you cling to so much. Why do you come? I come to church because I'm seeking God. And then, if you're serving God and you're seeking God, what's holding you back from searching God once you find him? What's holding you back from getting into the scriptures and learning about your wonderful Savior? Let me tell you something. When Brother Mark was singing that song about that blood washing away your sins, good night, it should have been a party in here. Amen. It should have been Times Square without the alcohol. I'm going to tell you right now, when you sing about the precious blood of Jesus Christ that washed away your dirty, rotten, wretched, no good sins, woo, that should get you excited about God. That should get you excited, because every one of us, not only did he wash us away from the sins that we've committed in the past, not only is he washing you away from the sin that you're thinking right now, would to God Dave would get done, not only would he do that, because that is a sin. He's already cleansed you from that, what you're going to do. If you can't get excited about that, check your pulse. You might be headed to heaven today. I'm going to tell you right now, I get so excited hearing about Christ that loved me. Yeah. What's funny is I hear people all the time, well, I'm just walking with God. It's so great to be walking with God. You should try it sometime. Walking with God's the greatest. I've learned a few things since I've been here. And the one thing I've learned, Brother Mike, the closer I get to God, the smaller I am. The closer I get to God, the more I realize he has to forgive. And I've got news for you, folks. That's the way it's going to be for you. Because the closer you get to God, the more you realize you're a dirty, rotten sinner. The closer you get, you say, well, why in the world would I want to get close to God then? Because on the other side of that, the dirtier you get, the more you realize how much he cleaned you up. And the more you realize how great it is that you've got a Savior that loves you today. I'm going to tell you right now, it's amazing. We walk through this world with these ropes tying us down. We walk through this world, I can't make it, I can't do this, I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. Search for the Savior. Seek the Savior. And once you find him, grab a hold of him and love him, because I got to be honest with you, you're going to need him once you get there. Amen. What ropes are tying you down from doing those things? Is it people that are tying you down? Are people holding you back from serving God today? Is there a person, Dr. Gray said this, has never left me. Is there a person that if they walked into this room right now and sat next to you, your mind would never come back to the message? Is there a person that lives on this earth that is keeping you from serving and seeking and searching God? Is there a person that could be here today that would stop you from doing that, what you so desperately need to do? Is there a person? Is there a thing that you love so much that thing takes precedence over the Almighty God that saved you? Is there a thing? Are there duties that you have to perform that keep you from serving God? Are there duties? I want you to look at Philippians 3. I love Paul. Paul is by far, he is by far the greatest for me, of course, short of Jesus, in the scriptures. Paul realizes who he is, and I love the fact that he let us hear about it. And I think Jesus Christ moved him to say, Paul, tell the people who you are, because they need to hear this. The Bible says in verse 10 that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for you which I also am apprehended of, Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's getting closer to God. Do you hear that? He's getting closer to God. I count not myself to have apprehended. That means arrived. I have not arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. There's a set of ropes that can hold people back. I'm going to use you, Andrew. There's a set of ropes, and this is my rope. I apologize for the fact that it's an electrical thing, but that's all right. Quickly. You can dress up for my illustration, right? Right here.
I don't know what I just did. It's a cool new suit.
Set of ropes found in Philippians that can keep you from serving God, can keep you from seeking God, can keep you from searching Him once you found. That's the ropes of your past. The ropes of your past. Now, I don't know everything about Andrew. Probably glad I don't. And he may walk through this world desperately seeking Jesus Christ, but he can't because of the ropes that are holding on to of his past. Go forward just a little bit for me. The ropes of his past are keeping him from doing this. They're keeping him from seeking. Now listen, I may just be a small problem. Austin Shell, come here. I may just be a small part of his past. And the small part of his past, he's able to seek God. And I'll show you why. He's able to seek God because this part of his past, and I'm not calling him small, but he's smaller than him. Okay? Go ahead. Go forth, Andrew. Now, hold on to him. Hold on to him. Yeah, see, you can't stop him. All right? He can still seek God. Don't kill my cord, fellas. This is an illustration, not a tug of war. This problem is not big enough to hold him back from seeking God, but it's still there, and he still drags it with him everywhere he goes. It's people that are like here in church today that have a problem in their past that they can't seem to let loose of, and they drag it to church with him everywhere they go. They drag it around saying, I'd never be worthy to be a deacon because I've done these things in my past. I'd never be worthy to be a prayer warrior because I've done these things in my past. I'd never be worthy to be anything for church because I've done these things in my past. Can I help you today? Forget those things that are in your past. They don't hold you anymore. They don't have a hold on you anymore. That rope is not going to be there. Bless God, cut that rope. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you right now, before I became a preacher, I was a drunkard. Before I became a preacher, I was a carouser. Before I became a preacher, I was going to rock concerts all the time. Before I became a preacher, I was a dirty, rotten sinner. Guess what? I still am a dirty, rotten sinner. I don't do the things that I used to do, glory to God. But I can't drag them with me. Because if I drag those things with me, I can never do anything for God. God has called you to a higher purpose today. Glory to God, folks. Cut the rope. Glory to God, folks. Get rid of those problems that you used to have. Get rid of those things. They aren't part of your life anymore. They don't have to be.
Amen.
What happens is you're afraid. This gets me to the next set of ropes. You're afraid that the problems that you have today are something that you currently have. Oh, my past, it really isn't my problem. I'm dealing with these problems today. And we drag these things around with us because we feel that we can't get away from what we're doing. We feel that we can't break free. We feel that we can't go ahead. We can't move forward. We can't get any closer to Christ because we got something that's holding us back. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Stay right there, boys. Don't you go anywhere. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where you're going to find your grace today. That's where you're going to find the ability to make it through, is in Christ Jesus. Please hear those words today. The strength is not in yourself. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness. It's coming, if it's not already here. Endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man, listen to this now, no man going to war, no man in war, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. Now listen. He's got a problem of the past. And by the way, Andrew's a big fella, but do you see how hard the past fought him? This is an illustration and a good one. Do you see how hard the past pulled back on his life for Christ? Do you see how hard it fought? And let me tell you something. The hardest thing to get over is your past. It's hard. And what's even worse is, and I had this. Some of the people that I haven't seen from high school for years, I told them what I was doing. They said, "Are you sure?" I think so. And I got to thinking about that. You know, some of my past, I did things that shouldn't have been done. But they were done. Can I help you today? The things of your past, you did them. Can you hear me? You did them. You really did. But just because you did them, doesn't mean that Jesus didn't forgive you of them. And if he forgave you of them, and please hear me now, I want you to hear me. There's only two reasons that you could hold on to them. Only two. And I didn't even think of this other reason until just last night. Only two reasons. One, they're just so much burden that you haven't gotten to the point where you accept the forgiveness from Christ. It's just too hard. Christ, there's no way you can forgive me for that. Although he does. And he has. You just have to come to grips with it. Or two, and this is a sad reason, but it's true and it happens. There's only one other reason that I can come up with. You want to hold on to him. You want to hold on to him. You want to hold on to him because if you hold on to that, it gives you an excuse not to serve Christ. Oh, boy, that's good. Oh, man. As all the feet pull back under the... Don't step on me. No, seriously. There's only two reasons. And the only reason, other reason I could come up with was the fact that you want to hold on to him because it gives you an excuse. Because of the bad person you were, you can't be a good person today. Understand this. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. All that's good comes from God, and my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You're not any better today than you were back then. Oh, but for Christ.
Amen.
But for Christ, which made you better. But for Christ, what helped you to get through. But for Christ, what makes you worth anything. But for Christ. Don't use that excuse anymore. It doesn't work. Because Christ desires your sorry carcass to serve him today more than ever.
Amen.
Glory to God. But no man in this present time that wants to serve Christ entangled himself with the affairs of this world. That's a hard pill to swallow because a lot of people get very involved with this world.
Yep.
This world almost becomes more of a god than God. I can't live without the world. I dare say we can. In the present day, Andrew, come here. You're in trouble now. But the present world, don't hurt him. His knee hurts. He's a sissy. He's gotten entangled with the present world. And he comes to church, but he's so entangled with the world. Now try to move forward. How'd that work out? He's so entangled with the present world that he can't come out. He can't find a way to break free, and he can't serve God because he's so worldly. He's so involved with the present problems. He's so involved with what he's got going on right now that he can't break free. How many, and I don't, please don't raise your hand, but how many have lived in that? Where the world, the problem of the world are so ingrained in our minds that we can't even think about Christ because our present is too hard. What we're going through today is too hard. It's too hard. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know which way to turn. Cut the rope. Don't entangle yourself with this world. It's not worth it. I say this to them every time. Every time. Never is there a time when I don't tell the people when I'm in the jail ministry, look, we are all the same. And I know that might not preach good because they're in orange and white stripes. I'm in a suit. I understand that. But when Christ looks down at us, he sees no difference. Hey, and let me tell you something. A lot of us, we'd be sitting there if it weren't for the grace of God not letting us sit there. Hey, there was times I drove drunk. I should have went to jail, man. There were times. You look at it, bless God, I've been good all my life. I don't know who you're preaching to, Brother Dave. I told you when I started, I'm preaching to me. Come along for the ride. I see those people in the jail. And like I told the first time, I didn't want to go. But after I've been going, it breaks my heart not to go. Because listen to me. I see those men and I see me shackled. And you know what's funny? They love church. They love church. They love preaching. They love to hear it. They love to hear about somebody that loves them enough, even in their current condition. Right now. This is where they're at. Right now in bondage. Right now. The problems that they're dragging around are too heavy. Cut the ropes, people. Cut the ropes, because this current world has no hold on you. Amen. This current world, what we're living through right now, has no hold on you. Amen. No hold. Because I promise you, if you cut the ropes and serve Christ, he will help you to have freedom, because he can make you free. Amen. A lot of people quote that verse, set you free. Set you free brings remembrance that you were in bondage. Make you free means you're made different now. You were never in bondage. That should be exciting to you in itself. Because you literally, in Christ's eyes, you were never in bondage. You accepted as far as the east is from the west. Is that right, Brother Mark? Is that what the Bible says? That means you were never in bondage. That means that you were in a place when you got saved. Christ wiped all that away. He wiped that from his remembrance. I'm so thankful Christ has Alzheimer's when it comes to my sin. The present time has a hold on people, has a hold on them. The worldliness has a hold, and they can't seem to let loose. Here's what's sad, and I'm all done. I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 20. What's keeping you from being held back from serving and seeking and searching God? The ropes of your past, the ropes of your present time, the ropes that you now have, and also the ropes of your future. I want you to see something. In verse 20, chapter 2 and verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, they cut the ropes, brother! They escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled therein. and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's not speaking of losing your salvation there. That's speaking of if you have tasted the life that you have in Christ and you go back, it's going to be worse this time. It's going to be worse this time because what happened is you got your eyes off Christ and your eyes on the world. Look at what it says. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. If you're a saved person here today and you go back to the world, you're not losing your salvation. It's going to be worse because now you've got a righteous soul that's going to be vexed daily. And it's going to be hard to live with yourself. Verse 22, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, which is 26:11 in Proverbs, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. Well, that's just gross. So's going back to the worldly life. What's the future ropes, Brother Dave? This is good. Give me another guy. Real strong, big fella. Not you. Strong and big. Strong and big. Jason, come here. You're right in the middle. Crawl over people. Yeah, good. Amen. Strong, big. You afraid now, aren't you, Andrew? You couldn't even get past this guy. Now I'm going to make some statements to you. And I've heard this very recently. I've heard this. And this is talking about future ropes. Now listen to me. I can't change, not because of my past, not because of my present, mind you. I can't change because I don't want to live that good life. I don't want to become a Christian because I'll have to give up my drinking. I don't want to become a Christian because I have to give up my drugs. I don't want to become a Christian because I have to give up gossiping, although Christians seem to have a monopoly on it. Yeah, it preaches, don't it? I don't want to give up what I've got because I'm afraid of the future. I'm afraid of trying to live that life. And in the back of their mind, the reason that they're so afraid of it, brother, is because they're worried that they won't be up to the task. Can I help you, Christian? You're not up to the task. We don't have a person in this building that's up to the task of serving God. All we've got is Christ. That's it. We've got to let Him help us. Well, I can't break free. I can't. These ropes are going to drag you all over the place. Pull, fellas, man. These ropes are going to drag you. You can't go forward because they're pulling you back. You can't go forward because they brought you back with them. There's no way you're going to go forward for Christ because you can't cut the rope. What's amazing? Some people, cut it. Wait. Don't say amen yet. Some people cut it. But the rope follows them. It follows their life. And they may have cut it, but it's always going to be there. Here's where the choice comes. Because you can get entangled in that rope at any time.
Yes.
There's never... Listen, it's up to you, folks. That's where the choice comes in. It's up to you. The dog makes a distinct choice to come back to its own puke. Isn't that gross? But they do. And they have... That is what they'll do. They do that, and then they have the choice. They don't have to go. They could go to the kennel ration, but they'd rather go to the already processed kennel ration. And they do that because of a distinct choice of they can't get over their past. They can't get over their present. And they can't get to this new future that they've got with Christ. They can't get there because this rope is following them and they're always looking back. The Bible says, I press forward. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. Forward. That rope may be there. Listen, that rope is still there, and so are the three big guys' problems are still there. Your past is never going to go away. Did you know that? The Bible tells you to forget it, but can I help you just a little bit? Don't forget it. Put it in the right file. Because understand this, when you forget your past, you forget who you were. I don't like that either. I want people to remember who they were when Christ saved you. I remember that I was a dirty, rotten, scumbag, sick jerk. I remember those things. Now I'm just the jerk. And I remember all those things, and I remember them specifically because I want to take my victories with me, just like David took Goliath's armor with him. I want to remember what Christ has done for me. But he wants you to forget what you were in the sense that you can serve Christ because it's through Christ how you serve. Amen? The rope is still there, but Andrew's got to make the choice now. He's cut the rope. His future's set. All he's got to do is serve Christ. The rope is still here and following. Keep walking, Andrew. The rope is still here, but he chooses to not look back. He chooses to not entangle himself in the present time, and he chooses to not be afraid of his future. He chooses to not, and because he chooses not to, what is he? He's free. He's free to serve God. Is there somebody in this room today that you can't serve God because they're here? Is there something in your life that you can't serve God because that's there and I just can't serve God because it's there? Is there something that is hindering you from your future with Christ? Is there something that's there? Can I help you today, Christian? Cut that rope. Don't be held by that rope. Don't entangle yourself in this world. Press forward to the future because I got to be honest with you. The future is so bright. It's so bright. Don't let anybody put sunglasses on you. Look towards that future, but look towards it free. They had to cut the only lifeline that they thought that they had was that boat. The only lifeline that they thought that they had. You know, sometimes people say my past has made me who I am. You know, that could be true to a point, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's my Christ who's made me who I am.
Amen.
And I'm sick of carrying the baggage. Amen? I'm sick of being tied with the rope. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being entangled in this present world, the things that I can't control. Glory to God, we worry so much about things we cannot control. We're so tied up with, well, what in the world? It's an $8 trillion deficit. I don't have 80 cents today. I didn't have 80 cents 4 years ago. It hasn't affected me a little bit. All that's going around today is a lot of nothing, and I've got the monopoly on it. Cut the ropes, Christian. Cut the ropes. Let's serve Christ.
Amen.
Listen, your Savior loves you. Just who you are, He loves you. He loves you. You can sit down, fellas. He loves you. You can sit down, Andrew. He loves you. No matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, no matter what you've done or what you're going to do, your Savior loves you today.
Amen.
Your Savior loves you, and He sees the ropes around you, and He wants to cut them for you. But the problem is, do you know, this is one thing that you have to do. The Lord didn't come down and cut the lifeboat free and show them that the only way of escape was in His boat. But do you understand this? He wanted them to cut the ropes, and thankfully they were obedient, and what happened? They all lived. He's begging you today, cut the ropes of your past. Cut the ropes of your present time. Cut the ropes so you can have a future, a great future. Don't let the future hold you back. Wonderful hymn. One of my favorite verses in a wonderful hymn. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Or were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It will forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. God loves you today. Cut the ropes of this life and seek for Him. Serve Him and search Him. Let's cut those ropes today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You with all my heart. I thank you that you gave a call to this old dirty, rotten sinner. I'm thankful, Lord, that I picked up the phone and accepted you. I'm thankful that through the years, Lord, you've helped me to understand that my past is my past. And it is just that, it's past. And Lord, there's nothing I can do to straighten the crooked ways that I have done in my life. But Lord, you showed me that I don't have to dwell there. You showed me that the world is not worth getting all wrapped up in. The things that are done and said in this lifetime, in our current time, are not ropes that we need to have around us, Lord. They're ropes that we need to cut so we can better serve you. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you've given us a bright future. And that future comes with warring, and it comes with battles. But Lord, in your word, you promised that you'll bring us through. You promised. You promised that no matter what we face, you are greater than all we face. The Bible says you're even greater than our own heart. Lord, please help us today to seek you out. Help us today to, when we find you, to search you. Because your riches are just, they're unexplainable. Lord, please help us today. Help us to serve you in a greater way. Lord, if there's one here, Lord, that they're dealing with their past, Lord, help them to get rid of that rope today. Help them to get rid of it. Help them to cut it. It's not worth dragging the old past around. And Lord, if there's somebody that's entangled in the world today, Lord, please help them to come. Help them to come and get rid of that rope too. And Lord, please help us to look towards a future together, a rope-free future together. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say, Brother Dave, I've heard what you said, and I don't even know how to get rid of my past. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I don't even know what that's about. Can I help you today? Christ desires to save you. That's why he came. He loves you. That's why he came. And if it was just you, he still would have come. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, 100%, if you don't know, could you put your hand up real big and tall today? Put it up. Because that Savior desires to still save. That's what he does. Then I'm speaking to Christians today. I'm speaking to Christians that are probably tied up. I'm speaking to Christians that probably have problems that they drug to church today. They probably have ropes that are around them today, right now, in this room, right now. You know, a great place to get rid of ropes is right up at the altar. A great place to cut ropes off of you is right up here at the altar. Well, I don't want to go. That's that future rope. That's that future rope that's going to hold you in your seat today if you decide not to come. And I'm not trying to force anybody. I'll be here. I will be here praying myself. Because God wants to do something amazing through you. Not just something mundane. Not just something simple. He wants to do the amazing through us. No matter what you've done. No matter what you're going to do. No matter where you've been. No matter where you're going, he desires for you to cut your ropes. Cut your ropes today. Cut them off. Dear Jesus, I'm begging you today. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands. I'm not. Lord, that's between you and them. I don't need to see them. You see them. You know the hearts. Lord, please let them come and seek you today. Let them come and search for you today. And Lord, let them go away serving you today. Lord, please, I'm begging you to get the people to cut their ropes today and serve you better. Lord, be with this invitation in a very special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please let's stand. If anyone needs to be baptized, please come forward right now and go through the door. We'll help you when it's time to baptize. Invitation has started. Come quickly to do right.